amazing comedian, but his opening line as he came out went, he went, "I'm here to save the gig." Even quieter. And now the three of us who had not enjoyed the gig, we realized, oh, we didn't die. We just didn't enjoy it. And now we're watching somebody die. Yeah. One! All right.
Rolling, man.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm glad that finally we did it 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. Doesn't it feel good?
It's good. It feels good.
On a roll. Because people are starting to ask. Like, they're like, we got one of our followers, JG Colm. He's been messaging me and a couple others. They're like, where's the new spots? And we're like, it's coming.
Oh, cool.
We're in. We're recording.
Well, we
got to
put it out first.
And the new one will be out by the time this one's out. Yeah, so our conversation is. I hope you all enjoyed the new one.
Yes.
And
follow us and subscribe to the, to the YouTube channel. That's the most important thing. Also, follow us on Instagram, Standby Podcast, Twitter, Standby Podcast, and also on our personal social media as well.
Yeah, totally. And we were on Twitch for such a long time too. And I don't know if we'll. Are we abandoning our Twitch channel now? Now that we're here at the store, maybe we'll.
No, we can still go back.
I think I got something fun planned.
Yeah.
At the top of this, so our producer Brian got in a little sticky situation.
And, all right.
This is related to travel in a sense, but basically Brian's done the thing that a lot of Angelinos do, and probably around the world you guys do this too, when you have parking restrictions in your area.
Yeah, on the street.
You go three blocks over to where the higher income people live, and they don't have restrictions and stuff, and you're able to park a car there for days at a time without the parking restrictions.
So this is what happened?
Maybe he
should explain it. What's going on?
What's that?
But he also should explain too. Like,
no, all right. Do you want to jump in? I mean, I can. It's right.
Or explain
here,
the situation before you.
No, yeah, he basically nailed it. It's really just I park on a street near my street because there's no street cleaning there.
On a street that you don't live there.
No, it's technically, it is the same street name I live on, but it's a couple blocks over.
Okay.
Where they don't have so I don't have to move it every Thursday Friday when I...
Got it.
And I got this letter from...
So he came out to this letter, which in a way is a blessing, because this is obviously angry, and judging by the size of the font, this is a...
It was typed, so that's very... First of all, they've been doing this for a while.
That's my favorite part.
It wasn't handwritten. They're like I want this going back. Yeah. I mean, if it was just cut out newspapers, then you'd be sitting at the war.
I think it's just some 72-year-old dude who just came storming back into his house. Beulah, get that template.
That's old that's just watching all the time, like they got nothing to do,
So here we go. So, so polite at the start. Dear car owner, you must know that you are parked illegally. Now, this is what pisses a lot of us off, because I don't feel you were.
I don't know what the rule is, but there are no signs.
But why was it illegally? Okay, does it say there?
Well, he goes, 72 hours is the limit on residential streets in Los Angeles, and yet you leave your car unattended for weeks on end. Now, see, like, I think you can leave it for a week, I would say. But without any signage, I would assume a week anyway. You have more than worn out your welcome on blank. Green Street. You now have four households reporting your car. I have a feeling dude's like...
He went to other houses and be like, look, we got to get... So it's like, is this like a rich part of town?
It's not even that rich. I mean, I'm sure the houses cost a pretty penny, but they're one-story homes.
But are the people that have, do they have like cars, like good cars?
Yeah, it's a family neighborhood.
Have you ever noticed the areas where the parking limitation signs go away?
Yeah.
It's a little bit nicer.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I live on the apartment side of that area, and then I park on the home side of that area.
No, because I'm assuming they also like, because I wonder if they would have written that if your car was like a very expensive car.
Oh yeah, that's the thing too. My car's dirty because I don't wash it because I don't really care to wash it because I don't use it that often.
Yeah,
and it's an older car. It's like
that's 10, why they're probably going old. Like, and look, we cannot have.
Yeah. They like, see it as an eyesore, I'm sure, which I don't blame them. They're right. It is an eyesore.
Yeah, totally. One day soon, they will come and tow your car away.
One day soon.
Somebody used to be a writer in Hollywood. One day soon.
One day.
So it's the
end. That looks like the name of the movie. One day soon.
There's a very cutting and passive-aggressive ending to this letter, too, as well. I advise you to sell it. Rent a garage or go park it somewhere else. Oh, is there, because there's some, he does list in the letter too that.
Wait, how do you know it's a he?
Well, I just said, like I was saying, I'm assuming this is a 72 year old man judging by the font and everything. So that's what I was saying.
How do you go from
not the bit I thought you would drill down on, but let's, okay. I'll,
wait, but
I'll
wait,
call
my
it,
thing
I'll
is
call
like,
it they. Should we call yeah. it they?
No, I'm not talking. I'm just saying, like, how did you, like, went to, like, but they judge if it's fun. This is a 70. What are you, fucking Sherlock Holmes?
It's
like,
definitely an old guy.
Yeah, it's definitely.
No, I know it's an old guy, but like he went 70, specific 72-year-old.
You know what?
Yeah, well, I told you that was my guess. So
that detail, you're right. That detail's a little too much. It may be JJ who left this.
Yeah. So there you go. So this old fella, I'm going to say, or this old person then, if that makes you happier, they then list, I'd rather it was a 72-year-old man, who's, I advise you, so he did list that having it towed would be more expensive than the value of the car.
I'm sure it is.
I advise you.
Wait, he said the tow is more expensive than your car?
Probably, yeah.
Basically,
no, he's
yes.
right. No, yeah.
Yeah. Did I already pass that bit? But I advise you to sell it, rent a garage, or go park it somewhere else far away where the homeowners are not sick to death of your car messing up garbage day and taking up space.
Garbage.
How dare
which
I?
You do not pay rent, a mortgage, or taxes.
Wow.
Yours.
Well,
truly,
this is definitely a Republican.
Yours truly, several concerned homeowners, of which I think are recruited by him. It only takes one.
Yeah,
busy,
it's gotta be. He saw them walking on the street, and he was like, "Hey, have you seen this car too?
Yeah,
are you as mad as I am right now?"
Yeah,
and they're I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
he's like, they're with me.
Yeah. He went to knock on the door. Nobody was there. He's like, you know what?
I think they're pissed off too.
Yeah,
it's
but
the
you know what?
Body of the block.
I will
man.
Say, I get why they're pissed. I just think it's hilarious that I got someone that pissed.
Yeah,
about
to write a letter.
Yeah, that's on their street.
Well, I would say this is a blessing in disguise.
Yeah,
because you said confidently in the car too, I won't go back now. I'm not.
No, I'm not. No,
not,
they
not,
they
he's
win.
Not
I'll,
gonna,
yeah.
He's not gonna test fade or anything.
I'll give it
is,
to him. They win this round for
good.
Sure. I'm not.
I mean, there's rich people two streets over that have space on the road.
Yeah.
So
there's other streets in LA.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can
yeah.
go get a letter from them. But this is so. This raises an interesting point though, because when there's no signs up, I assume you can park. And this happened up the road from me as well with my car. While I was out of town, because I have restrictions in my little city block, you have to move your car. It's in Los Angeles thing. As
yeah,
well.
Los Angeles. I mean, there's always I mean, there's times where you have to move the car because of the cleaning or because
yeah.
of you know,
garbage day.
Garbage days, or there's also you know places where like you can only park like from 8 to 6, and then at night you cannot park because that's for like the people that live there,
yeah.
you know, stuff like that. But then there's other ones that they don't have anything.
Yeah, and I don't know. There may be a 72-hour rule. I genuinely don't know about that.
I don't know about. I mean,
if there is, they should have a sign for it. That
you would
be
think.
My point because so up the road from me, so I have restrictions on my.
I think
it's
mostly
so
about
because
your car is not rich.
No, for sure.
No,
yes.
I
feel like
too.
If it was
if it
like a cool
match,
car, I don't think he would.
Yeah,
no.
Or
if
they would care that much.
If it doesn't match the look of their neighborhood and their snobbiness. But so I got restrictions on my street, and I was doing shows in New Zealand. So I had 2 weeks in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So I parked it on this street because I can't park it on mine. And I don't have a driveway because I live in an apartment building in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And so I had to park it on this side street. And it got towed. But I didn't know.
Oh.
So I was saying to Brian, I was in New Zealand gigging away. And also, I had a friend look after it because I was even cautious. But I was like, it's a residential street. There's no signage or anything. But can you check on it? And I won't mention the friend's name because you guys will know who it is. But my friend kept writing me, texting me in New Zealand. Car's great. Car's fine.
Car got towed.
And he wasn't fucking looking because I got back from New Zealand. And so I was saying I made about $1,800 in New Zealand, mm-hmm. like after having fun.
Yeah.
I had a bit of fun and came back with about $1,800. My car is gone. So I call my friend. I'm like, my car's fucking gone.
He's like, oh, car's fine.
Oh, it was there. it was there the other day kind of thing. I was like, fuck. So then I had to track it down, and I went down to the impound, and it had been there for like 13 days. It had been there since the start of my trip.
So they count
and
every day.
So it's
they,
like $65 more dollars every day.
So how much was it?
It was in the end, it was like $1,100 right, to get my car back, which just ate into my whole trip.
Damn.
I was living.
Did your friend give you something?
No, he didn't. Maybe, yeah, this is.
Yeah, he should have at least give you like $200 or something.
I mean, it's hard
for like messing it up.
Yeah. But I did fight it in court because I went and took photos and how there was no signage or anything.
And did you win?
I did not. I lost. But this is the thing. The police officer who...
How does that work? Did you go there?
You're going to like this.
All right.
The police officer who had my car towed came into court and was actually on my side in the proceedings. He was like, he's like, Mr. Whitehead is correct. There's no signage or anything like that. And then the judge still decided against me. Wow. I was like, what the hell? And then
the reason?
Then I saw the police officer in the cafeteria afterwards.
Yeah.
And he told me, he goes, the people are such busybodies. And the woman who reported you, she's just a stickler. And she always gets her own way. And she's like this big. And that's the kind of people that write a letter like this. And he was like, I can't do anything. But I literally had the police officer from my defense and from my court case telling me in the cafeteria that he sided with me and that he hated the people who.
So how does that work? Did you go by your, did you represent yourself? Did you went like Your Honor, all that stuff?
Yeah.
Like you were like Newman.
It was
Your Honor is like, this guy was preventing from commit suicide.
Yeah.
He's like, and Kramer's like, what? No.
It's not nearly as fancy as you think it'll be either. It was like.
But you could actually go and be like, do the whole thing of like, objection, you know, like pretend to, you know, right?
I think
if you wanted to.
I think you would have been pretty offended. But I think it felt really informal. But I was impressed that the police officer was there. I guess they always have to be there.
No, they have to be there because if they don't, then they lose the – then like if you get a speeding and then if they don't show up, then you're free.
Then you automatically win,
So.
Well, it's really weird because he agrees with me and he came. He should have just taken the day off from court. But he must have had cases on either side of me as well. But
did you go like, you want me on this wall? You need me on this wall. Who's gonna stop me? You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
And everyone's just staring at him like, what the hell is he doing?
What is this guy?
By the way, I just saw a thing of like what's his name? The guy who the Lieutenant Weinberg, I forget the actor's name, but he was saying that, like, the reason of, like, he was like, when they first did it, he goes, like, you, Lieutenant Weinberg. And then he's like, why is he looking at me? I have nothing to do with it. And then the only reason is that it was written that way is because just to make sure that the Jack Nicholson's character was anti-Semitic.
Oh, really?
To showcase that. Because, yeah, there's no reason for him to go, like, who's going to do it? You, Lieutenant Weinberg, you know, I was like,
all right,
yeah, because there's no other reason. Like the guy never talked to him. He wasn't, you know, he was pissed at Tom Cruise, not at him, you know.
Right. Okay.
So Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak, and he said that.
Funny man.
Yeah, but and then he also said that little trivia that, you know, because Jack Nicholson, he only did it for a couple of days and he had to go. You know, like when they were doing the other takes for the others, he did Jack Nicholson's lines. And he's a very good impressionist. And so he did it with his, like, doing it like Jack Nicholson.
Then
when they were doing the editing, like, Rob Reiner the director he didn't know which one was, you know, Jack Nicholson or Kevin Pollak sometimes. He was like, yeah, I don't know. So,
all right.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, but
I feel for you, bro. I just feel for you.
Actually, that's a good letter because I didn't get a letter.
Safety letter.
I actually got like a little thing like from my apartment. Like, I live in an apartment. I live on one of the top floors, and then so I got this thing from this lady. I mean, actually, I didn't know who it was. So it was like a message, but it was written like from you know, somebody put it under my door, and it said like, shut your door. Not their door. It's like, your dog is fucking loud. I'm going to call the pound. I'm going to get him out of there. You better shut him up. You know, like very like, and it was written and I was like, what? I mean, like, so
I don't have a dog.
No, I do. Yeah.
I was thinking about that. If someone saw me reading that, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Car. But then I was like, but it's one of those things that I was like, come up. I mean, so. First of all, like, knock at the door. I mean, yeah, like, what the hell's going on?
This
like,
wasn't a first the thing.
The
this
first
is just,
time. I don't know where.
It's gone to DEF CON 6.
Yeah, I don't know where.
Yeah, that's
And then it was, I went and finally went downstairs and knocked at the door. There's this guy, I was like, I don't know. And then finally realized this is literally the person that lives below me. And then, yeah, I mean, turned out to be, like, when this lady opened the door, I was like, oh, yeah, this is, I was like, I saw everything. Like, I was gonna be like,
see all the aggression
and like, and also like the, I mean, like, oh, this is like a person that has more problems than this.
Yeah,
you know. So then I realized, I'm like, I can't. So I took the tactic of being like, and every time the person would say something and be like, I'd be like, but first of all, because he was like, this dog is barking loud at night, and I'm like. Me and my girlfriend, the dog sleep with us in the bed. Do you think we're going to actually allow him to be barking all the time? He doesn't bark. And then he's like, yeah, but he's like running all the time. He's like, he doesn't run. We're there all the time. You know, unless, you know, everything is all. I was, and
is
like,
their apartment really close to yours?
It's downstairs. I mean,
oh,
so
immediately below yours.
Yeah, below. Yeah. So
oh,
yeah, you could
so
hear
listening
to like maybe like
movement.
When he like
oh,
runs a
oh,
little
I
bit.
Know,
but yeah, I'm like, I mean, the whole thing, like at the end was like, then there's like, I hate when they let dogs allow here in that apartment. They shouldn't have done that. And I was like, well, that's a different story, you know. And then but then I went to the actually wrote to the condominium, and they're like, yeah, next time come to us first because you know. But
before you stop by angry, angry Mrs.
But it was like, yeah, I was like, but when I opened, I was like, ah, oh, this is it. Actually, like, took away the whole like, this is a different. But because most of the time, those people that are like. Write notes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
are you know they? It's not this.
They're angry at life. Yeah,
it's not
something
that
happened in the '80s that would come and they're just carrying around.
They used to have my car and they're like remembering their past. And they're like, no, not today.
Yeah. It's like the people that write those like big ass Yelp reviews too, like negative, like like what
like
do you doing?
Really that mad about Arby's?
I
had neighbors when I was a kid who took our street hockey balls or any kind of sports if it landed on their yard. You know those people? It's on my lawn. It's mine now. I had one of those neighbors growing up. Like so to this day. Like, and I remember my parents were trying to say they're not, they're angry at life.
That's literally what it is.
They probably have a whole collect, they have a room full of frisbees and hockey balls and soccer balls. All
at that point, you can't even argue with them. You gotta be like, man, because who cares?
Yeah,
like
I read it. And
like
laughed.
You said, like, you're like, just move the car.
What do you get? Park there anymore.
Like, who cares? Like, this whole thing is like,
when I read it, I was like, yeah, clearly this is someone who's been stewing about this for 3 months. Like, this, I can't get to there.
Yeah, he's going, like he's a person that's, like, going to, like, family's outing and going, like, man, let me tell you about this guy. And it's like, not again, Grandpa, fuck. Enough with that story. You don't even know that. Yeah, but this, you know how much I pay in property taxes? For some fucking, it's like, okay, get
it. Do you know how many legs dogs have and I can hear them upstairs?
Yeah, it's like.
Okay, exciting. Good story, Granddad.
Yeah,
story.
You just move on. You just move on from it and you go. Yeah. I wish I could have seen them. I'd have been like, I'm genuinely sorry. I didn't know that I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
Those people are also expecting always like for you to like
they
go like.
To,
and then when you go like, all right, fine, they like then they don't know how to act.
No,
then they're like, it's like my function. It's like, fuck, I can't. You know, I was supposed to be bad.
Kindness.
Yeah.
What is this? What is this kindness?
He agrees?
Coming at me.
It's the same thing like the people like the ones that are you see now in videos like the Karens or the people that scream like on.
Yeah.
It's like. Like
that's
if they
tension.
Tell you like get out of the
yeah.
mask because you can't wear the mask, just leave.
Just yeah.
Yeah, or put the mask, whatever. Like why do you need to like what's all this angst like crazy?
Oh my god, I had that I was watching a lady do that at the gym at the LA Fitness down in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I was leaving the LA Fitness and there was this old lady out front And she was just, she's like 20 feet from the doors, but she's like barking at the doors. I could see her as I was in the gym getting ready to leave, mm-hmm. right? And I just see her yelling at the doors, and I'm like, what's going on here? And I got through the door, and it was her just going, are you ready? Am I going to scare you all? Do I need a mask on because you're all scared of me unless I have my mask? She was doing a full fucking performance outside the glass doors, and I just walked out, and I was like, I don't know if you know this, nobody can hear you in there. Like, she's just putting on this whole show. For no one. And then she walks in, and then I realized, oh yeah, there isn't even a mask mandate right now. She was doing a whole song and dance when we were all in the gym just working out anyway. But these people are angry.
Yeah, life, so like you said, they're angry at life, at their life, and then they need to take it out somewhere because their life is not happy. And like,
but that's
because
the best thing. Like, that's great when it, like, it's like everything gets funnier when you realize that
it's
people
not
are just
that
mad,
serious.
They're not really mad at you. Everything just gets funny.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy when you go. I mean, and a lot of it is easy when you go like, "Oh, this person is not. They're just angry at something else, not me." Like they're, you know, and like once you quickly
a lot easier
analyze that, then it's that's kind of like doing stand up. You know, like when you do crowd work and when somebody heckles or stuff like that. Like you right away, you don't take it personally. You go like, "Oh, this person's doing this or that," and then it's so easy. And then it makes you even funnier and more in control because you're not taking. You're like, "All right, relax."
But if you do take it personally, you're gonna tank.
Then
the whole rest of the audience goes.
Oh no, they hate you. They'll hate you you could make fun of them all the time when you're like control, but as soon as you switch, you lose that control. Then they lose you. You know, then you lose the audience. Then like.
Yeah,
they don't want. You know.
No, it's always best to kill them with kindness, or as they say, give them enough rope. Just let them because
most of them they always like.
Yeah, eventually their anger gives way to nonsense.
Yeah,
so they can be angry, 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 but then eventually they will say something so ridiculous the whole the vacuum.
Yeah, like
just
this happened to me there. They're at this show. Like it wasn't a heckle, but it was like a. Like I was talking about this dog bit that I do, and I was asking people like, "Oh, what kind of dog you have?" You know, and she was, and then this lady was like. Well, I have a, let's say a German Shepherd, you know, like, and then I have some Mexican Rescue, you know, and she said it like that.
She threw it away?
Yeah, and I was like, what? I was like, what did you say? I was like, what did you just say? Like, so I made fun of that. I was like, why can't you just say, like, you know, another, you know, whatever the dog was.
I have the one that's always going to be my favorite, and then I got another shitty one.
And then what was funny is, like, what you were saying, like, she kept going, it's like, no, it's just... I forget what she did, but she kept like really digging herself. I was like, just stop it. You know, you're making it worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
But it's like, you just let them talk and then they.
Yeah. You can almost feel an audience sigh after a word, like sigh in disappointment. Like if you just let give them enough rope, it's basically, and then they'll hang themselves.
Eventually
people are like, all right, fuck off with your story of your Mexican dog lady.
Have you guys ever gone into like dealing with a heckler and completely lost the crowd?
No, I mean,
well, it all depends. I mean, there's a lot of situations, but yeah, I would say
Dan Mendonia saying,
well, sometimes you lose it. There, he's witnessed you do that.
No, he did.
I mean, it does happen because also you need the audience. It all depends on the timing too. If you haven't got the audience on your side and you have a heckler, then it's even harder.
Then it's even worse. And it's like,
So if you have the audience on your side, you can always take your time.
I mean, sometimes happened where, like, to me, where, like, you know, like it becomes a little awkward and then it's kind of like, okay, then you have to like recharge and then it's fine. But it's like, there's a moment where like something like
can't sit in this too long.
Just something like the person said something or, you know, I said something. It's kind of like, I didn't lose the crowd, but it became awkward. I was like, okay. Then you have to like kind of like put a different reverse and goes another direction kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like,
how about Ubers?
But it's never like I haven't had to where like completely lose the thing and then I have to like. But to me, if that happens, that's where you gotta go. Like that's where you have to have your ego in check and be like, all right, I lost this. You like and leave because. Well, you
I like to drive it. All right, you win. But
to me,
I'm staying for another 8 minutes.
But to me, that's what happens.
Make this night miserable for you.
Well, that's why it could go two ways. And like we have perfect examples that you can go on YouTube and watch it right now. Two ways when you go into like if you stay with hecklers. You could go the good way, which is the Bill Burr way when he did it like on Philadelphia. Philly Ram. Yeah. And he goes in that. Or he could go the Michael Richards way where he goes and then you lose your career forever. So like that's where you have to like
that was a very bad choice.
Well, I mean, but maybe he would have done it another way, but like, you know, like if he was smart enough to be like, look, I'm feeling angry, I'm gonna say stuff that get out. Yeah. Be like, you know what, I'm out, you know, I'm not, but it's like but it's like that ego of like, no, this is my time, and then you start saying shit that you don't wanna, because it's not even, I mean, he went the crazy way of like being racist, but like you could even say something that, you know, that's not racist, but that is not gonna be
it's not gonna be funny.
It's gonna be like, or it's gonna be something that you're making literally fun of the person, and then it's gonna look bad, you know. Yeah. So it's like,
when
you don't want
to
get
to it. There's got to be some
When you're like become like a like you become like the guy who's writing the letter. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Then you just
so that's where you gotta feel yourself to be like, oh, I'm getting angry. I'm out, you know.
Oh, I've seen a lot of younger comics just lose the plot. Like it's when, especially when they go, you're ruining my gig. And it's like, whoa.
Well,
this is all of our gigs.
I remember also watching this guy, I forget his name, but like doing like a small bar show a while back, and like he literally did the stages of like bombing, and he was like, it was beautiful like to watch it, because it was like, it's like, I think I forget, it was like 5 or 6 stages of bombing where the first you start, it's not working, then he starts like like getting mad at the crowd, then he starts talking, and then he's like, ah, what's going on, and then he starts apologizing. And it was like beautiful
circle,
but he was doing like in order, and I was like watching the back, I'm like, oh my god, it's hilarious. And then I think at the end he said sorry, and like,
oh,
and
man.
I'm like, at that point, I was like,
oh, wow. Oh, you don't just mean the 5 stages of bombing. You mean the 5 stages of, what is it? Grief. 5 stages of grief, right?
I mean, just
anger, depression, bargaining, acceptance.
Well, in bombing, but you can.
Shock was in there.
Shock, anger, depression, bargaining, acceptance. That's but, it, isn't it?
Yeah,
apologizing.
Yeah, and they apologized at the end. I was like, oh, my God. You could, like, leave. That's when I go, like, leave. Like, you're not, no matter what you do, you lost this battle. Get the hell out, man. But but it was like, I was like, I was cracking up because I was like, this is beautiful to watch. But it was like,
I know, we do enjoy that. We enjoy watching a comic have a hard gig a little too much, especially when they're my friend.
It's funny. Well, it is fun. It is funny to like, when you're like, for example, like we're performing and we go up and like, first of all, they like the crowds, you know, the crowds not that good tonight. It's kind of tough. And then I'm going to go. Don't worry. I got it.
Yeah.
And then it happens. And then you start, and then like you go up and then you start doing the tricks that we do. It's like, so what's going on? You know, like, it's crazy. Like this little like voice.
Yeah.
Those to me, those I find really funny because every comic does the same thing. When like something doesn't hit, it's always like either like a little bit to the crowd or like a little weird part.
Yeah,
it's always so funny to watch.
I saw a friend of mine, amazing comic, Adam Bloom in Britain. He is great. And it was at the Edinburgh Festival. We were doing a mixed bill, and it was a bad room. It was just tired, drunken audience, and they weren't giving any energy into the gig.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't being heckled or booed or anything. We were just bored. We were bored trying to entertain hot, sweaty people. And we threw Bloomy on the bill because there must have been 3 of us that had been on already, and none of us were happy.
Yeah.
So in the green room, somebody recruited Bloomy, said, "Go, can you go out and light a fire under their ass or something?" And it's the fastest death I've ever seen, because amazing comedian, but his opening line as he came out went, "I'm here to save the gig." Even quieter. And now the 3 of us who had not enjoyed the gig, we realized, oh, we didn't die. We just didn't enjoy it. And now we're watching somebody die.
Well, I'm sure everyone in the crowd was like, oh yeah, you're gonna save this? Let's fucking see
of
it then.
Course. Yeah,
especially
a
British audience who are like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
So I've seen it happen. I also, like, you reminded me of, because the hard gig, the hardest gigs are when an audience is facing each other instead of facing the comic. You know what I mean?
I mean, where are you doing your gigs? TGI Fridays?
Well, yeah, there's lots of like banquet hall kind of gigs, you know, like where they're sitting like churches, this, like this. Yeah, like you and I are looking at each other, like but a the circular comics,
table. Oh, like the there. Tables right, like the like oh yeah, that's never good. Yeah, that's never
good. Comedians up there.
Yeah, that's never
so
good.
So everybody's looking at each other. Yeah, and you're good. On stage. And so I remember doing one of those once, and they're just not.
Never good.
And I'm plodding through. But then I just said to the audience, I said, you know what? You guys will have more fun if you look at me while I'm on stage. And I just, wish I hadn't said that because it didn't get easier. No. But I'm like, but that's the truth when they're all just looking at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because it was at Christmas time too. And at Christmas time,
it was like a corporate.
Yeah. Only 20% of the audience when it's a Christmas do or whatever.
Yeah, they don't want, they want to get drunk.
Yeah, most of them wanted to go bowling.
Of course.
Or get drunk.
Yeah.
And then, so what you got to do is just fucking power through. But I did. I wasn't enjoying the gig, and I was about 7 minutes in, and I could see girls.
And those are the ones that you do need to finish, because when I say people like don't finish the gig, it's when like you're not getting paid or like whatever. Or it's like it is a club gig when you're closer to the time or whatever. But when you have a corporate gig where you do have to do 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. Yeah, you gotta. That's where you gotta blow through and be like, "Fuck it," you know.
You just
like,
gotta keep going, and then sometimes it's best not to. Because I just,
and then you,
I
yeah, you don't know.
See the table below me. I could literally see like whatever couples were looking at each other and going, you know, and like just not listening to the rhythm of the words or anything. Yeah. Like after a setup, I specifically saw a girl go. And I was like, that's not, I felt like going, that's not the punchline, lady. And stop looking at the guy across the table from you. And that's when I said, that's why I went, you know, this will go a lot better if you looked at me. Kind of thing. And I regretted that.
It's funny, like, if you switch.
I was like, all right, 20 more minutes of this shit. You know, here we go.
You know what's funny? Like, if you switch everything you say with, like, sex. It'd be like, this would be funnier if you just look at me. And the girl's like, no, that wasn't the part. It's just 20 minutes. Come on.
Sex, where we should all practice our heckle comebacks.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you guys ever done, I know that's like a big thing when you're coming up as a comic, doing like college gigs in like basically like hallways or like the
oh, yeah. No, every have you guys time. Done those? Yeah. I mean, I've done. In every situation, I done gigs in with literally one person in the cafeteria.
Oh my
like
God.
One person that I like, they're there and they're staring at me, and I just basically I done ones where like they're like, hey, we did a thing where like free coffee, like so I'm like performing in their Starbucks in the cafeteria, and like so I'm like performing, and it's like.
Yeah,
you know,
that's LA a lot actually. Yeah, because
college, like you know, that's So I done gigs in outside. I done gigs in a basketball court. Like I done gigs in.
I came that one. You did one at a baseball diamond. Yeah, that was a fun.
Yeah,
that was a fun one.
Yeah. I mean, no, like there's. I mean, like the especially the colleges, because the colleges sometimes. Some colleges understand comedy or stand up or been to a show, and other ones they just don't know. Yeah. So like they think
every college has a different comedy culture.
Yeah,
don't
they? And I think it's with people. A lot of people think like stand up, you can just like because it's just so easy, it looks so easy that you can just do it anywhere. And they're like, no, you still need a mic, you still need a venue, you still need people to like be
who
paying
that at
still
a comedy show. You need an eyeline. You need, you know. Like.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to do a college on Thursday. So, but that one I feel it's like a 3-person group a show. Oh, okay. So those are always better attended because they bring in if they're bringing 3 comics, is usually
it's gonna be a show.
There was like more of a show. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a few in the movie theater lobbies. They did that for a while in England. In England, they had some. Yeah, they would do it in the lobby.
Did they even know that you were doing stand up? Or they? Who's
guy? It was. They were all there. Like, it was seated. You know, they set up chairs and everything. I guess you know, just smaller towns or whatever. Crazy. And they're like, we'll do. You can go see the movie if you want, or we're gonna have a comedy show in the lobby. But you just reminded me of like you know, speaking of playing to one person and all that kind of stuff. There was a great, I hope it's Alfie Joey, I think is his name, but he did a show in his car In Edinburgh, many years ago.
Oh, okay, okay.
His show was
like his stage
car,
was
so
the car.
His yeah, he would drive around Edinburgh, so he had 3 tickets for sale for every show.
Oh,
every show,
that's funny.
3 tickets was a sellout.
Oh,
right?
That's pretty cool.
So he
that's a good idea.
It was,
like it's original.
It was really cool. So he sold out his car, and he was sold out every night. He was sold out every night. So he's up on the sold out. You know, up on that thing, like
funny.
Next to any like
that's
huge
so
comics
funny.
And stuff, sold out every night.
So it was the original.
That's how you play a small audience.
Carpool.
He was the original Uber.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he created
an Uber with a show.
Yeah,
has anybody done that? Have you got in to an Uber
I
and
mean,
they've been like, "Hey man, can I
probably
give
I mean,
you my CD?"
I know, like. James Corden probably did. I mean, there's got to be something like karaoke Uber or like stand-up Uber or
yeah.
something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everything's like done now. So
yeah, we did. I told you before that we once on the Jim Jefferies tour, we had to get an Uber like from, it was like, Seattle. We got from Seattle into, oh shit. I want to say, yeah, I'm going to get it wrong though. Where's Nebraska? No, it's far away. It's up north.
I mean,
fuck.
The United
anyway,
States.
We had to get this Uber across state lines for like a 2-hour drive because we missed our flight. And it was really funny.
And it was very
quite recognizable. We got in, the Uber driver was like, "Do you guys like stand up?"
A little bit.
Yeah. So he played the stand up channel, although.
Oh, really?
2-hour drive.
God.
And he was really, and he kept chirping in every now and then, going, "I'm sorry, if I'm starting to offend you guys, just let me know." And I felt like, oh, dude, do you know who's
dude,
sitting in this Uber
are you
right
aware
now?
You're
not, I don't think you have to worry about offending this.
That's fine.
Who was he playing? What comics was
it
he
did,
playing?
It played like Carlin and Pryor.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it was like, it was a good, very good.
Yeah,
comedy channel, you know, but it's just really funny that he's like,
yeah, if he had known.
Well, we should talk about this thing.
Was it talking about the article?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's you want me to read it to you?
Yeah. It's actually written by somebody that, you know, Joanna Whitehead.
You would assume, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Do you know her?
No, I don't know her, but. No. But thanks. It's funny.
Sorry, I literally did the joke that I do to that I do about me about like.
I mean, your last
like from,
name is Ramos. It's
yeah,
one of the most common last names.
But that's
in the
very
world,
like that's
it?
Very yeah. That, but Whitehead is not.
No, I don't think so.
So
I've weirdly since I've met you, I've weirdly seen like 6 or 7 people like they have that typed out. You know, like Whitehead.
The Whitehead.
Like, oh, that is more common than I thought. Where is it common from? If it is, I mean.
From the heads of whites.
From the heads of whites. Yeah. Somebody told me that it was like.
It's probably something like back in the Middle Ages. Some guys
like, "Who do you have to talk to get this to happen? Go see the head of the whites."
Yeah, something like that. Some guy that put
Chief,
a lot of
Chief Whitehead.
Put a lot of people to powder or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So,
Whitehead.
Yeah. The natives of Canada probably don't look upon whiteheads. Well, but yeah. Well, that's it, brother.
That's I think we're.
That was a fun.
That was fun.
Shooting of the shit.
Yeah. No. And I. We're getting closer and closer to getting hopefully a guest back here.
Yeah, I think we got some exciting guests lined up, waiting in the wings. But Francisco and I wanted to do these first.
Yeah.
Two,
no.
Just
we need to get the.
The
lay of the land first and see how, you know, and then. Because
it's hot up here upstairs at the Comedy Store, too. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm fucking.
Yeah, fucking so I mean,
sitting up in the rooftop. So, as soon as we get a third sweaty body here.
Yeah.
It's gonna heat up, baby.
But
we're looking forward to it. We got a list.
Yeah, we got some people come, hopefully, you know. But yeah, once we have that. But yeah, I mean, like it said, the new episode's gonna come out. The new season, if you want to call it, right?
Should we call it this?
Got picked up. You know, we got picked up by the Comedy Store, so like, so we have a new season. So when this is episode 2 of the new season, you know, and once we get a, you know, so please keep subscribing, please keep sharing. You know, it's great because now we're at the Comedy Store podcast network.
Yeah,
so that's be cool too because hopefully we're gonna get some new people
to
come. And obviously, if you wanna have any questions, write to us. If you have anything that you wanna ask us. Personally, we'll try to answer it as well. You know?
And JG Colm, who has been writing us a lot, asking us for the next episode. I hope you did enjoy the next episode. This is the second next episode.
Yeah.
And I know you just had a baby. So to one of our friends at home, congratulations on your...
Yeah. He had a baby or just the experience of having a baby?
There it is. On that note, brother.
All right.
Thanks, guys, man. We'll see you shortly.
Bye, hello.